The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt, another big week of European football with action in the Champions League and the Europa League. And joining me to look ahead to the action is Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you, Lee?
I'm great, thank you.
Good, good. Before we get stuck into the European stuff, just a quick reflection on the weekend. The gap at the top shortened, now only 5 points between Chelsea and Manchester City, and at the other end of the table, would you call it a point gain for Leicester?
Yeah, I suppose it was. You know, the we were quite confident on the punt before the weekend about them getting something out of Everton, because Everton's record coming back from the Europa League is pretty poor. But once again, though, I mean, you've got to say, they should have won that game. You know, in the end, it's an 88th minute own goal that gives Everton the point. And, you know, Leicester are fast running out of time. 12 games left. We spoke about this before the weekend, Mark, and it's getting down to maths now for Leicester. You know, that's one more game they haven't won. You know, realistically, if we say 37 is the magic number, what we said before the weekend, Mark, was that I did some research over the last decade, and 36 points is the average survival total over the last decade. 35 if you count goal difference, but no one's banking on goal difference at this stage of the season. So if we say 36 even, you know, that still means that they've got to get another 18 points in the remaining 12 games. They've got 18 from 26.
They've got teams, double the points.
Teams don't turn around that kind of form. If you say they need 18 points, you know, four wins gives you 12. Six draws, that only means they can lose two games for the rest of the season. There were 6-4 to finish bottom before the weekend. They're 7-4 now. You know, they're 4 points off safety at the moment. Obviously, it's not guaranteed, and that's why it's 7-4. But do we see them turning that form round? I'm not so sure. I think if you didn't have that bet before the weekend, I think I'd be taking that bet. I think Villa have got the ability to pull themselves clear of Leicester. Burnley have showed that they can do it as well. QPR, not sure. QPR might be the other bet to finish bottom, because I think they could go on a bad run at some point. They're 3-1 to finish bottom, but I do like that Leicester City 7-4 to finish bottom of the pile. I'd still be with Chelsea, by the way, on the title. I mean, I know you know, they drew with Burnley, but very unlucky to draw with Burnley. Do you know what I mean? You know, the way they should have had two penalties, you know, and you know, obviously, you know, Barnes could have been sent off before the Matic incident. I'm not saying I'd back Chelsea 1-4. What I'm saying is I don't think City will win. I wouldn't be having a bet on that. You know, Chelsea still need to drop another 6 points, and City have to win every single game between now and the end of the season. Tall order.
It is. I don't see the top end changing much, actually. No.
Three goal difference. Better off for Chelsea, so you know, I mean, that can be hauled in, obviously, if they're winning every game, but yeah, I think it's Chelsea's to lose, and I can't see a Mourinho side chucking away a 5 point gap.
Nope, fair enough. Let's get stuck into the midweek action then. We'll start obviously with Tuesday's games. Man City against Barca is the big tie, probably, from where I'm sitting on Tuesday evening. Man City are 5-2. It's 12-5 for the draw, 6-5 for Barcelona. These two met a year ago at this stage. Barcelona went through 4-1 on aggregate. City had a bit of a wobble as well, didn't they? But they've been playing well in recent weeks, and Barcelona came unstuck at the weekend. So is it a good time for City to strike?
Yeah, amazing result. Barcelona losing the second home game this season, this time to Malaga 1-0. They lost 1-0 last time, didn't they? Incredible that they don't score. I mean, they tend to score every game they play. Yeah, City looked great, didn't they? Gifted an opening goal, really, with a penalty after, you know, what was it, 20 seconds or something daft. And then strode to a 5-0 win against a Newcastle team who really just looked like they'd given up the ghost at times. I think it's a big test of how far City have come, this one, Mark, for me. Because last year, I thought it was naivety. You know, Demichelis getting the red card after 50-odd minutes and losing 2-0 at home to Barcelona. That's too much of a mountain to climb away from home. You know, having to go to Barca and try and outscore them with away goals, just, it's too much, you know. So this time, I'd be looking at them being less expansive, being more disciplined in every aspect of the game, in the defending, in the midfield, discipline as in, you know, not picking up stupid fouls and getting themselves into trouble with a Champions League referee. They've got, if you imagine being a defender or a midfielder and you've got Messi, Neymar and Suarez, to name just three of them, I mean, how do you... You've got to deny them space, in my opinion. So I think they've got to set up and try, almost like set up like it's an away game and not be too intent on pushing forward. I think they've got to rely on getting a couple of chances and Aguero taking one of them, or one of the players taking one of them. Because the last thing they can do here is concede an away goal. They need a clean sheet. Problem is, they've only ever done that once in the Champions League at home. One clean sheet in all their Champions League matches. And that was against Bayern Munich a couple of years back. So the stats wouldn't be in your favour if you're banking on a Man City clean sheet. Having said that, I was looking at Barcelona's away record and, you know, they had that 2-0 win over Man City. But generally, it's not great. You know, that was the first away win in the knockout stages since 2012. They've only scored 4 goals in a knockout game in those 7 games since 2012. So it's not like they're tearing it up at this level of the competition. I worry about the defence, Man City. I worry that they haven't got a set back line who we know will be tough to break down. There's no Torre. He's banned for this one as well, which is a major miss. That clean sheet against Newcastle was the first they've kept at home since the 20th of December. That's 6 games. Those teams they've played and conceded to: Hull, Middlesbrough, Arsenal, fair enough, Sheffield Wednesday, Sunderland and Burnley. This is Barcelona. With Neymar, Messi and Suarez. I mean, how do they keep a clean sheet if they can't do it before that? So I want to trust Man City and think that they can get a result here, but I'm really struggling. I think we may see a 1-1 draw. I think they will try and keep it very, very tight, but I don't think they'll be able to withstand the Barcelona pressure. It's a little bit shorter than the Man City win at 5-2, but I've not seen enough of them, I think, to trust them to win the game against this Barcelona attack. The Roma game accepted. They were brilliant against Roma, but that was away. It's easy, I think, to sit back away from home. So I think we're going to see a draw here. And I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Messi score. A Messi goal any time and a draw would probably be my pick in this one.
Okay. You'll find a price on that if you want.
Yeah.
I fear for City here.
Do you think it could be a...
I don't think they can keep out a Barcelona attack that you've already highlighted is pretty strong. The fact that Torre is missing is huge, because a lot was documented about how City don't play very well when he doesn't play, or they lose games when he doesn't play.
Yeah.
And I don't think they progress either, because if they can't keep Barcelona out here, obviously Barcelona got the away record, away goal, very, very strong at home in the Champions League.
That's my worry for them. I find it very difficult, although, you know, obviously Malaga have just nilled them. You know, and they did have the big three playing, you know, but I think, you know, they'll be more keyed up, won't they, obviously, for a game in the Champions League against Manchester City. You know, Suarez coming back to the Premier League for the first time. There's so many little storylines involved in this. City have already conceded 12 home goals this season. They only conceded 13 in the entire season last year at home. So they're already in the Premier League, that is, of course. So, I think that they're just struggling full stop. And I'd like to have seen maybe keep 4 clean sheets on the bounce going into this game and be very solid at the back and very disciplined. I just worry for them in that the away goals will come. But I don't think they'll get absolutely hammered.
Fair enough. So what'd you go with?
The draw. Straight draw. I like it. Obviously, you know, I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know, Messi. But I think Messi is arguably the best player in the world. Even money, I'll take that. Just to score a goal in a game. Yeah. Any patch of grass Messi's on, I'd take even money. Or better, obviously, to score a goal. You usually get him at odds on, so it's a nice one. Neymar's 5-4, Suarez 5-4 as well. Probably just the sort of game Suarez would score in, isn't it? Messi to score. I like the draw as well. I just tried to find the scorecast, but I don't think it's letting us do it, is it, at the minute, on the website?
You could do Messi to score any time and 1-1.
Oh, right, okay, was that in there? Yeah, sorry, I missed that.
25-1 it was.
All right, yeah, let's have that.
Messi to score first. And 1-0.
Not quite right, is it? But when you can put the scorecasts together with the different results, then I like the Messi to score in a draw. I think it'll be quite a tight game, this one.
Okay. The other game on Tuesday evening is Juventus against Borussia Dortmund. Juventus are 11-10, the draw 21-10. Borussia Dortmund are 4-5. Juventus top of Serie A, 10 games unbeaten, very good at home. In fact, I don't think they've lost a competitive game at home since April 2013. And
46 games, it is. Amazing home record.
Nice. they take on a Dortmund side who we know about. They've had problems this year. They were bottom of the league for a long time. Although things are starting to look up for them. 3 straight wins. They're no longer bottom of the Bundesliga. It's a test, though, isn't it, this against a very, very solid Juventus team?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the fact that the 14-5 is probably might attract a few people in. Those football hipsters who still can't give up their love of Borussia Dortmund from a few years ago might be tempted in on the 14-5. I'm not so sure, to be honest with you. You're right, you know, they have pulled themselves off the relegation battle. 3 points clear now after three straight wins. They've scored 10 goals and conceded four in that little run. The conceding four is the worry, obviously.
Yeah.
Juve, as we've just demonstrated, great at home. They've conceded five in seven, the last seven in Serie A. They let in two against Olympiacos, so I can see Dortmund getting on the score sheet here. They're not as watertight at the back as you know you would imagine. But I think I'm just struggling whether to go for the win for Juve or the draw. They've both got such good players. I mean, Pogba's playing fantastically well at the minute, scoring goals, being lauded by everyone even more than he has been in the past. Obviously Tevez, you know, is still in great form, will shine on the big stage as well. I want to have both teams to score in my bet. I just can't quite decide whether to go to Juve or go for the draw. But given the fact that Borussia Dortmund have only just arrested that bad form, I think I'm edging towards Juventus on the outrights. The problem is that they were brilliant in the Champions League. Even when they were terrible at home in the Bundesliga, they were great in the group stages. It was only until they'd qualified that they stopped winning games. Obviously, Arsenal beat them, didn't they? And they had the draw before that. But up until that point, I thought they were brilliant. As you can probably tell, I'm hedging my bets on the outrights between Juve and the draw. So my main bet in this, because I do think Dortmund will score, is going to be Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Did we watch him in the pub? I don't know if we watched it once. I can't remember if I was out with you or DK. But we watched him rip Arsenal to bits in that first game they played in the group stages. He's 21-10 to score any time in this game. Like I say, Juve do concede goals. He's got four in his last three. Scored in the group stage of the Champions League. I think, you know, if you're looking to... I think they'll sit in. I think they'll try and defend. I think they'll try and hit Juve with pace. And he's got that in abundance. He's got a finish on him. The only thing he hasn't got is a pronounceable surname. Aubameyang. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 21. I like that. That's my favourite bet of the match. 21-10 for him to score at any time in the game. I think that's decent. Yeah. I'd go for that. I mean, to be fair, Paul Pogba's 2-1. He's been scoring goals recently as well for Juve. Mm. He's been in good nick of late, so he might be one that you like to have a look at. But you know, I think Dortmund can get an away goal here, and he'd be my man to get it.
Yeah, I agree. On my notes, I had Aubameyang and Royce.
Yeah,
if there were odds against, maybe consider have a look at one of those two for Dortmund.
Yeah, Immobile, I suppose, going back to Italy.
Yeah,
a bit of a mug bet. But I'm not.
Well,
you know,
a good mug bet, don't we?
Yeah, he hasn't played. I don't think he's been in the team recently, though, Immobile. So whether he plays or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing this game. I think it'll be an absolute cracker. I'm just waiting to see where Dortmund are and, you know, how far they have progressed, how much confidence they've picked up in those last three games.
It's difficult because that's the question, isn't it? How improved are Dortmund? And they were already, like you say, playing better football in the Champions League. First impressions, I thought 11-10 about a Juve team that's so solid at home. So it's quite a big price just on its own.
It's just that draw, isn't it?
Yeah.
Draw's just nagging away at me a little bit, because they are exceptionally impressive at home, you know. But you know, they've won the last in Serie A, they won the last five straight. But before that, you know, they'd had a draw with Inter, they drew with Sampdoria, drew with Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. So you know, they are. It's not like they're pounding everyone before them. The game against Olympiacos, I mentioned they conceded two. They won it 3-2. So you know they did concede. They're not imperious at home, but they are a very good side, of course. I'm going to sit on the fence on the match betting. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I just wouldn't be with Dortmund.
Okay, moving on to Wednesday's games then. We'll start with the Arsenal game firstly. Arsenal are 8-15, the draw 13-5, Monaco 13-2. Arsenal, 9 straight wins at home. We talked about this on the punt a few times in the last few weeks. They've won 8 of their last 9 in total as well. Obviously, the defeat to Spurs the other week. They take on Monaco, who they went on a run of a long unbeaten run, 10 or 11 games, but in the form's become quite patchy, hasn't it? 1-2, lost 2, and drawn 1 in the last 5. Is this a bit too much for Monaco?
Yeah, I think it probably is. Arsenal are obviously well used to this. Only 15th consecutive last 16 appearance. And Monaco's inability to score enough goals is the worry for me here. They're the best defensive record in the group stages, and he conceded one goal.
Yeah.
But only scored four. They were in the easiest group as well, with Bayer Leverkusen, Zenit and Benfica. Well, arguably the easiest group. Best away record in Ligue 1, though. So, you know, they have got the ability to go away. I think that I think it's pretty obvious to me that they're going to go away and try and shut up shop and restrict Arsenal as much as they can. If they can get an away goal and get away with a 1-1 draw, I think they'd be delighted with that. I'm not sure they'll manage it, though. And I think Arsenal, like you say, they are in good form. You look at their home record recently. Nine straight wins at home, scoring goals, not conceding too many. I think Giroud's been in great form recently, obviously playing against some of his countrymen as well. I think Arsenal will get this done. You look at the... the price is 8 to 15 is a bit short for me, Mark. Even though I think they're going to get it done, I think it's a bit short. Monaco 13 to 2, the draw 13 to 5. Arsenal are susceptible to throwing in a shocker, aren't they, sometimes? We're previewing this like we're giving that we're going to get the best Arsenal team who turn up. We don't always know we're going to get the best Arsenal team. You know, I napped them on Saturday in that Crystal Palace game at 17 to 20, and I must admit, you know, I was lucky to get away with it. You know, the two goals were dodgy, really, and the Palace poured it on them in the last 10, 15 minutes and really should have got a draw out of the game. So there's no way I can be backing an Arsenal side at 8 to 15. I just can't be backing at that sort of price. Against, you know, Monaco team who have got good players in the side, obviously. You know, Berbatov's found kind of a new lease of life there. They've got the Alan and Lassina Triore. They've got good players, you know. I think I'm going to go for a goal scorer bet here. I think I'm just going to pick Giroud to score in the game at even money. They put up a stat on the Match of the Day over the weekend about, you know, he's got 1-2 for Arsenal now. And I like the positions he gets in. I think if Arsenal are on top, then if anyone's going to score, it'll likely be him. I mean, Sanchez is even money as well, which, you know, they're great prices. They wouldn't be that sort of price against a team like Monaco in the Premier League. They'd be odds on those two. I think that they are a nice price. I'll just side with Giroud because I think he's probably a little bit fitter at the moment. Sanchez has been struggling with a couple of knocks. So given the choice of the two, I think Sanchez is a much better player, but I'll just go with Giroud to score any time. And I think Arsenal will win. So if you wanted to pair, you know, a Giroud goal with an Arsenal win, then you could maybe get a bit of extra value there. 7-5 for that. But I can't touch them at 8-15, unfortunately.
Okay, but you do think they'll win the game?
I do think they'll win the game, yeah, and I think they could win both legs. I mean, I'd probably rather, on the outrights, I'd probably rather keep my powder dry and bat them to win in France. Wenger's never lost to a French team on French soil with Arsenal. Obviously he knows Monaco well, doesn't he? Took them to the 92 Cup Winners' Cup final, won titles there, won the cup there as well. So it's going to be the first time he's ever played against them in his managerial career. So it'll be an emotional night for Wenger. I do think Arsenal will get it done, but I just can't quite trust them. Monaco instantly won their group with 11 points. Arsenal got 13 and were runners up in theirs. Yeah. So I think maybe just a bit too far for Monaco.
Okay, final game in the Champions League this week is Bayer Leverkusen against Atletico Madrid. Leverkusen are 21-10, the draw 2-1, and Atleti are 6-4. Leverkusen. Sixth in the Bundesliga. They've only had one win in their last six games, or they've fallen right off the boil. They take on an Atletico team who are pretty solid. They're experienced at this kind of level now. Obviously got to the final last year. Mandzukic and Griezmann both scoring goals for them. I quite like the look of Atletico here at 6-4. I think it's too big.
Oh yeah, I do. This is, I mean, a bit like we were talking about with Monaco. This is a step too far for Bayer Leverkusen, in my opinion. Finished runners up in that group with Monaco, of course. Shocking record at this stage of the competition. 2013-14, lost 6-1 on aggregate to PSG. 2011-12, lost 10-2 to Barcelona on aggregate at this stage. And back in 2004, lost 6-2 to Liverpool on aggregate at this stage. I'm not saying Atletico are going to do that, but I think this is too much for Leverkusen. Missing Bender, missing Kroos as well, the Aussie striker. He picked up an injury in the Asia Cup. Two of their better players. They were third at the end of the group stages in the Bundesliga, and as you said, form has dropped off, and they're now sixth. Atletico still third, as they were before the winter months set in, but they have drifted off the pace a little bit more than they were. Thrown in a couple of weird ones. I mean, they beat Real Madrid 4-0 in a superb performance from the first whistle to the last, and then they get beat 2-0 by Celta Vigo. Then they go and beat Almeria 3-0 and get back on track. Strange, really strange. As you mentioned, Griezmann and Mandzukic. I like Griezmann. I really like him. He's 7-4 to score a goal here. Mandzukic has already got a decent record. Got 3 goals in 6 matches against Bayer Leverkusen when he was playing in the Bundesliga, and he's 13-8. It's a take your pick, really. I think it's a toss of a coin, but I'd back either of those to score in an Atletico Madrid win. I'll go with Mandzukic, just because obviously he'll play a bit further up the pitch. 3-1 for him to score in an Atletico Madrid win. It's even been enhanced.
Look at that
in the headline offer.
Yeah. 4-1. Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's a point bigger. I like it. I think if they're going to win, I think he'll be amongst the goals. And I do think they'll go out there to win. I think they'll score away goals. I don't think Bayer Leverkusen will be able to hold them. You know, they're not holding teams in the Bundesliga who aren't as good as Atletico Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm pretty... It's the most confident I am on any of the outrights of Atletico Madrid at 6-4.
Good. Atletico, then, good bet in that one. Moving on to the Europa League games, which take place on Thursday evening. We've got 3 of them kicking off pretty early. So we'll start with Fiorentina against Tottenham. Fiorentina 11-10, the draw 23-10. Tottenham are 13-5. Fiorentina, 5th in Serie A. 10 matches unbeaten now for them. They take on a Spurs team who've had, well, same as always really for Spurs this season, mixed results. They beat Arsenal, then they lost to Liverpool and drawn the last two. Finish 1-1 in the first leg. Which way does this one go, Lee?
Yeah, good question. I think it goes all the way, is what I think. I think this could be a real long, drawn-out affair between these two sides. Fairly well matched, I think. I can see Tottenham getting an away goal against Fiorentina. Obviously, Harry Kane's been in great nick, hasn't he? They're unbeaten in 10 in all competitions, Fiorentina. Only had one home win in the group stages, and they played Gwingamp, PAOK, and Dynamo Minsk. So not exactly the cream of European clubs. Both teams to score has landed in their last 7 home games, Fiorentina. So I think Tottenham will get chances, and I think Tottenham will take at least one of them, to be honest with you. I can see a repeat result. I can see a 1-1. Mario Gomez was in good nick for them a few games ago. He scored 5 in 4, but hasn't scored in any of the last 4, so he might be worth a look. And Jose Basanta has got 2 in 3 recently, including the equaliser at White Hart Lane. So a couple of possible goal scorers for you there. Gomez is 5-4, by the way. You have to go quite a long way down to find Jose Maria Basanta, 4-1 anytime to score in both legs, that would be. I don't think we've got a price for it yet, but I'm going to go for this one to go all the way to penalties, Mark. Okay. So obviously the draw in normal time, and all the way. I think it's very, very tight game. Loads of specials, by the way. I don't think we've got. I'm just looking now to see if we've got the penalty markets up yet. We're recording this on Monday evening. What we haven't got to win on penalties, but what we have got is loads of specials. First home goal scorer, away goal scorer, players to score in both halves. We've got to score in the first 10 minutes from outside the penalty area, to score a header. Plenty of nice bets there. Correct score bettings, blah, blah, blah. Tottenham at 6-4 to qualify. Could argue they've got the better keeper. If you're going for a penalty shootout, if it goes to a penalty shootout, there'll be a pick 'em, won't they? So, I mean, obviously, it's a long way to go before that. You've got to trust that they go to a penalty shootout first, which is taking an awful lot in trust, obviously.
Yeah.
But 23-10 for the draw, though, in normal time for me.
Okay. Draw in that one, then. Moving on to Inter Milan against Celtic next. Inter Milan, 11th in Serie A. Their form is turning round of late, though. They take on a Celtic team who are 9 games unbeaten now, 8 wins and a draw. It was 3-3 in the first leg. 6-10 for Inter Milan. The draw 11-4 and Celtic 5-1. Just something completely not related to the form book. The fact that Inter Milan play on Monday evening, Lee, does that have an effect?
It's strange, isn't it? I mean, a bit unfair, isn't it, really, I think? I don't think it'll matter, to be honest with you, because 3 away goals, you should be all right, shouldn't you? I mean, Celtic have got to go away, nil them. You know, unless they're going to score four, obviously, which I think is pretty unlikely. When you look at, you know, Celtic's away form in Europe, it's not that good, is it? You know, very rare do they keep a clean sheet. They did against a Reykjavik team 1-0, but that's the only clean sheet since August 2013, and that was against Elfsborg. Cliftonville, they managed to win 3-0 way back when. So I don't see them managing that. You know, you look at Europa League form, it's much the same. Conceded four at Dynamo Zagreb, conceded at Astra, Salzburg. So I don't see them nilling Inter in any shape or form. I mean, 6-10. If you're thinking Arsenal are 8-15 to win their game against a Monaco team who, you know, could keep them to nil, I think Inter Milan at 6-10 is a decent bet against Celtic. I don't think Celtic are at this level. I know Inter haven't been fantastic this season, but I think this is a great opportunity for them to get some get to the final at the very least, progress in the tournament, and give them some pride at least. They can score three on their patch. They can surely score three on their own patch at least. So I not only would I go for the 6-10, I think Inter will win this fairly comfortably. I'd be looking at Inter to win the game in over 2.5 goals. In the game, I think we can see that Inter to win in four or more goals in the match is 3-1. Might be pushing it a little bit because they don't, you know, if they get an early goal, they might just ease back. How much will Celtic push it? So Inter to win in over 2.5 at 13-10 would be my bet here.
Okay, Inter Milan in that one. Then the other 6 o'clock game is Besiktas against Liverpool. Besiktas are 15-8. The draw is 11-5. Liverpool are 6-4. Besiktas second in the Super League. Won two, lost three of their last five. It was 1-0 to Liverpool in the first leg. A controversial Mario Balotelli penalty, but they have lost only one of their last 18 games now, and that was an extra time against Chelsea. So they're not doing badly, Liverpool, all of a sudden. Do you think they win this 6-4? Not a bad price there.
Yeah, a lot of chat about the system yesterday. I didn't see it, but I presume from watching Match of the Day too that Brendan Rodgers attributed that fantastic Coutinho goal to the system. If you saw it, Mark, but he absolutely creamed it from about 30 yards. It hit off the end of the. That's not the system, but the system does seem to be working for Brendan Rodgers, and you know. They've been going away and they've been getting clean sheets, haven't they? So you'd have to trust that they can do it again. You look at the Premier League away form and it's now five successive clean sheets. Admittedly, maybe Besiktas are better than Burnley, Sunderland, Villa. But are they better than Southampton at the moment? Are they better than Everton? Might be on a par with those two sort of teams. So I can see Liverpool going and keeping this tight. 6-4 to win the game. Don't need to win the game, so you know you wonder how far they'll push it. I'd probably look at the draw here, 11-5, with Liverpool going through. I mean, they could even go through with a 2-1 defeat, you know, on the away goals, of course, couldn't they? So yeah, I can see that. I was looking at the overs and the unders on the goals, so in this match, over 2.5 is even money. Under 2.5, 8-11. I can see the under 2.5.
Yeah,
I can see Liverpool doing what they've been doing. Why would they change? You know, that Southampton, you know, everyone, you know, raving about Southampton, went there and kept them out. A little lucky, I admit, but they still kept them out. I could play that. I'm not a massive fan of teams winning to nil because I hate it when you get chinned by, like, you know, some sort of fluky goal or a mistake. But 3-1 for Liverpool to be the only team to score, given that record, don't mind that.
Fair enough.
Mm.
Would you play that? Would that be your best bet or would you just play it safe? Or?
I'm worried.
Yeah.
I'm worried about it, so I'd probably just play. I mean, Liverpool winning under 2.5 goals, 18-5 as well.
Yeah,
so
I
like that's what I think is going to happen. I think Liverpool will get it done, and I think they'll limit Besiktas. They've got to keep tabs on Demba Ba, by the way, who has got already got goals in the Europa League, five of them, and he's scored 13 in 17 in the Turkish League, six in his last eight. Rested him at the weekend as well. But they concede. You know, they've conceded in each of the last seven domestic games. I'm going to trust Liverpool to carry on that good form and get the win. So pair up Liverpool win under 2.5 goals, or just under 2.5 goals, if you fancy that.
The final game we're going to look at is Everton against Young Boys. This one a bit later kickoff. It's 8:05 p.m. 8-11 for Everton. The draw is 13-5. Young Boys are 4-1. Everton were struggling. Still not flying, but they've only lost once in their last six games. That was against Chelsea, so that's not not too bad. It's 4-1 to Everton on aggregate. Young boys, I suppose they did beat Barnsley at the weekend, which will have boosted them coming into this.
Amazing.
But there's no way back for them, is there?
You wouldn't think so, would you? But one thing you can be sure is that they're going to have a right old go for it.
Yeah.
How is over 2.5 goals 19-20? This is Young Boys' record in the last three. They beat Grasshopper 4-2. They lost 4-1 to Everton and beat Basel 4-2 at the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. 19-20 for over 2.5 goals. I don't care what happens in the match. I think that'll land. I mean, I'd go over 3.5 at 12-5. Over 4.5 is 6-1. If Young Boys come out at Everton, Everton will have a go back. You know, I know Everton haven't been scoring many at home in the Premier League, haven't been scoring full stop very much in the Premier League, but did get two against Leicester at the weekend. All right, one of them was an own goal. But, you know, Lukaku, I think, needs this game as well. Got the hat-trick. Last week when we did the podcast with Sam, when you were off, Mark, and I put up Lukaku anytime at 29-20. And Sam went through, he went, yeah, okay, so he gave the price, 29-20, first and last, two or more, hat-trick. I'm on the end of the phone thinking, what's he mentioning the hat-trick for? 66-1 it came in.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think Lukaku will probably use this again. I mean, how he didn't score at the weekend, again, I'm not sure. So, Lukaku to score in the match, Everton to win, 5-2. They don't need to win, obviously. So, just play whatever goals you want, starting from over 2.5, whatever you feel confident with. But my main bet in this is over 2.5 goals.
Okay. Both teams to score, by the way, is 10-11.
That's a great bet as well.
It's landed in the last eight Young Boys games and obviously landed in the first meeting between these two sides. So I don't think that's a bad
bet. I don't see them going away and thinking, oh, we've lost this.
No.
That's not what they do. They'll be confident when they've scored four in the last two domestic games.
And they beat Basel at the weekend. So the confidence will be up.
Ridiculous, isn't it? So, I think it'll be a great game to watch because I think they'll have a right go. Remember, Everton beat Wolfsburg 4-1 at home already in the Europa League this season. So it could be anything. Hopefully it's not 0-0.
I was going to say cue the 0-0. Do you have a best bet for this weekend? Or do you not do them on
No, I mean, I like a lot of them, to be honest with you. But that's probably my favourite.
Yeah.
I just don't see how it's going to be a drab game with, you know, the way Young Boys go about their business. So, but yeah, there's a few that I really like, but that would be I like Aubameyang to score in that game at Juve, but not as much as that 19-20 for over 2.5.
Okay, I think Atleti are too big, 6-4.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well.
Yeah. All right, well, good stuff. Thank you very much, Lee.
Pleasure.
Good luck and enjoy this week's football.
Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.